Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Etadrupam Bhagavato. Yarupasya Chidatmanah Maya Gunair Virachitam Mahadadhi Bir Atmani Etad Rupam Bhagavato Yarupasya Chidatmanah Maya gunair vichitaram virachitam mahadadhi bhir atmani.
Translation: the conception of the virat universal form of the Lord as appearing in the material world is imaginary. It is to enable the less intelligent and neophytes to adjust to the idea of the Lord's having form. But factually, the Lord has no material form. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The conception of the Lord known as Vishvarup, or the Virat Rupa, is particularly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord, because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned above are transcendental, and there is no tinge of materialism in their bodies. There is no difference between the body and self, as there is in the conditioned soul. The Virat Rupa is conceived for those who are just neophyte worshippers. For them, the material Virat Rupa is presented, and it will be explained in the second canto. In the Virat Rupa, the material manifestations of different planets have been conceived as his legs, hands, etc. Actually, all such descriptions are for the neophytes. The neophytes cannot conceive of anything beyond matter. The material conception of the Lord is not counted in the list of his factual forms. As Paramatma, or Supersoul, the Lord is within each and every material form, even within the atoms. But the outward material form is but an imagination, both for the Lord and for the living being. The present forms of the conditioned souls are also not factual. The conclusion is that the material conception of the body of the Lord as Virat is imaginary. Both the Lord and the living beings are living spirits and have original spiritual bodies. End of purport. So this is chapter 3. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. And a list, because the question was raised in chapter 1 by the sages. So this is one of the six questions by the sages to Sutta Goswami. Please describe those forms of the Lord as they appear within this temporary realm. And to oblige, he does. The chapter begins with the Purusha avatars, one of the six categories of avatars. And those are transcendental forms. So they're in the list. And the Purusha avatars have a specific function or purpose in relation to the source of the Purusha avatars, the personality of Godhead, the source of all. And that function is that they bring about the material creation. And then within material creation, the list begins. The Leela avatars and Guna avatars and various avatars in different categories. It doesn't break down the categories, but one who's familiar knows the different categories. And that's certainly not all of them. In fact, it's stated this is that the number is unlimited. How many waves are there in the ocean? However many waves you can count in the ocean, as soon as you end up counting all the waves, there's more waves. It's uncountable. And the previous verse is describing the mysterious nature and of these forms. That is, so the unpacking of that, Prabhupada says, this mystery is to be clearly understood. And then this verse begins describing the mystery. If for those who are interested in mysteries, transcendental mysteries are most mysterious amongst all mysteries. And one has to hear very carefully, because it's mystery means by our own limited capacity we cannot penetrate into the mystery. By the ascending process you can't discern the mystery. But by descending process one can. So in the what Prabhupada has done in the purport is he's in a way given a preview or an overview of the coming verses, because the coming verses are going to describe, as he says in the purport, the Supreme Soul and the creation, the individual soul and the individual body, saying that both the creation and the individual body is not the Lord nor the real self. And it goes on to say, one who can understand the real self is altogether different. There is a spiritual form of the real self. One who can understand that properly is beyond delusion and can achieve the supreme perfection. Of course, at least that means to understand the supreme form of the supreme soul and serve in one's spiritual form the supreme form of the supreme soul in love and devotion. That's the spiritual perfection. But you can't get to that stage as long as one holds on to the physical conception of, quote, reality. You know, the materialist will say, this is real. There's a table, and it's real. And you speak about things that are... Only foolish people go for that stuff. The unreal, imaginary, talk about a soul. So this is the Bhagavatam, flips it around the other way. Because, so it's the anatomy of illusion. What's the nature of illusion? Illusion means to accept that which doesn't exist or is impermanent to be real. This is knowledge in the mode of ignorance. That which is not to be done is to be done, and that which is to be done is not to be done. Accepting asat as sat and sat as asat. One of the scholars that Bhaktivinoda Thakur associated with, this is a little anecdotal, but it's still on topic, described his appreciation for Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the following way, that even in, he used the word parlor conversations, you know, social, how you doing, how are things with your family, that kind of conversation. Very quickly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would begin speaking about Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that the position of pure devotion in contrast with the worldly enamorment of pots and plates, you know, things of this world. He wasn't just preachy, he was attached to the personality of Godhead, and he was always speaking about the personality of Godhead, even in social circumstances where you might not otherwise speak about those things, because of his attachment for the personality of Godhead. And naturally so as well, compassion for one who's in delusion. It's a very difficult subject matter. Put it this way. How to understand that which is fully spiritual, from that which is fully spiritual comes matter and material creation. Say it again. From something that's fully spiritual, like, you know, squeaky clean, how does something that's dull matter come from that which is fully spiritual? It's difficult to understand. And because it's difficult to understand, there are different philosophies or spiritual teachings that describe it in unlimited numbers of different ways. So the Bhagavatam is going to provide us with Satyam Param Dhimahi, a clear disclosure of that which is absolute truth. Now, the absolute truth we know from the first verse of the Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is that from which everything comes. So here's the table again. Does the table exist or not exist? So one way to say, as Prabhupada is doing here, it doesn't exist. Okay, if it doesn't exist, come over here and I'll bang you over the head with that which doesn't exist. And you shouldn't complain. Doesn't exist. And the pain doesn't exist. And your anger that I banged you over the head doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So that's one way of, and repeated, examine closely the Sanskrit and look at the commentary of our acharyas, and the way that Prabhupada has rendered this, the word, it doesn't exist or is imaginary, is a different way of describing it doesn't exist. But it's something, the table is something. What is it? How do you understand things? You understand things through the eyes of Scripture. So what is it? Bhumi rapo na lo vayu kama no bhutir eva cha, or some part of that. That's what it is. And now it's in this form, table. And before, it was tree and metal in the earth, ore in the earth. That's what it was. And then after some time, it's going to be something else again. It's going to be smoke and ashes and scrap metal. And then it's going to be used for something else. Then it's something else. So, does it exist? It exists as elements that come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's how Krishna sees it. So that's how we should see it. That's the table. And then, as he describes in the purport, there's this body. The illusion, the imagination is, I'm this body. But the body exists, but it's not me. The illusion is, it's me. But it exists. At least temporarily it exists. And then it doesn't exist. At least it exists in some other form. The elements take on some other form. But the soul continues to exist. And this exact logic that Vyasadeva uses in the coming verses. The soul exists. Otherwise, how could we have successive lives? The soul continues to exist. So many ways of describing this. Now, to enter into that subject matter, the coming verses, there's this verse where it's like a connecting verse between the forms of the Lord and the Virat. So the language that Prabhupada chose to use is, it's imaginary. And that's one way of looking at it. You know, the table is imaginary. It's not false, it's not what it appears to be. It's earth, water, fire, air, ether. That's what it is. In a particular configuration for this period of time, and before it was something else, and afterwards it's going to be something else. So the Virat Rupa similarly. It appears to be, so Prabhupada is taking this verse to bridge also into the second canto, because there's a whole chapter on Virat Rupa where that's the beginning part of an explanation or an answer given to the question asked by Maharaj Parikshit at the end of the first canto, chapter 19. He wants to know two things. Maharaj Parikshit wants to know from Shukadev Goswami, what's the duty of a person who's about to die? And the second thing is, what is that subject matter that he should hear, chant, and always remember? Two questions. And three chapters answer those two questions. Canto 2, chapter 1, 2, and 3. And chapter 1 is describing Virat Rupa, which way back here in chapter 3 of Canto 1, it's saying imaginary. So why would, let's do the logic. Why would Shukadev Goswami describe to Maharaj Parikshit something that's imaginary? He's not going to waste his time. He's not going to deceive Maharaj Parikshit to waste his time either. He's got 7 days. He's finished. So, what is it? A whole detailed description of the universal form, Virat Rupa. The answer is given in the purport, as well as in the first verse of the first chapter of Canto 2. It's given to help one who does not have a conception of God with form to start going down the path of a conception of God that has form. But the materialist can only see matter, so form within matter. As chapter 2 of Canto 2 proceeds, that conception of God having a form of matter describes it. Sukadeva Goswami described it, dissolves, and it's replaced by dissolving agent is the Paramatma conception within the universe. This Virat Rupa, there is the soul of the universe, because without a soul, bodies don't manifest. And then, so the attention of the transcendentalist starts to go to the form of the soul within the heart, the Paramatma feature. or as this chapter did, the Purusha Avatar features. Lord Vishnu, the four-arm form of Lord Vishnu. And then, as that meditation grows, intelligence becomes more spiritualized and purified, where the conception of the Supreme having spiritual form situated within the heart matures into a desire to serve that Supreme Lord. And then comes this mystery. Remember, the previous verse was speaking of a mystery. The mystery of the transformation of heart, where the soul that's covered by this body and the Supreme Soul, who is situated within the heart of this body, begin to relate with one another in a mood of the servitor and the served, in a loving mood. And that's the pure devotional service, change of heart. That's the third chapter. And that's the answer to the first question, what should one do? Engage in devotional service. And if you can, so there are parts of the world, I was recently visiting in one of them, China, where they do not have a conception of a personal form of God. In fact, they don't even have a word in their language for God. Huh? Because language or words are, what's the word? Symbols. Like table. The word table and the object are different. But there's a word, table, or chair, or hall, or something. Because there's a sense of that something, and the word is a symbol of that something. The word is not the something. The word is a symbol of that something. So if you don't have a conception of God, then you don't have a word for God. They don't have a conception. Wow. And so when they had to translate Bhagavad Gita, it was difficult. So they had to come close because, I mean, think in the Sanskrit language. How many words are there for God? Start with Vishnu Sahasranam, for starters. And, you know, there's unlimited numbers of names of God. And then there's secondary and primary names of God, that which indicates his position and that which indicates his loving relationships. It's very clear. But supposing there are people where it's just not clear, what do you do? How do you get them jump started? Here's the Virat Rupa, something that you can see, and think of that which you can see in terms of a personal form. But what the Bhagavatam wants us to understand, and Prabhupada strongly wants us to understand, is thinking of God as having material form. That's imaginary. But is the form of the universe, in the absolute sense, it doesn't exist? Is the Bhagavatam teaching Mayavad philosophy? Jagat mithya. Brahman satya. Bhagavatam isn't teaching Mayavad philosophy. It's one part of oneness and difference. The emphasis here is on the difference. But remember, there's a oneness feature also. Of all things that exist, there's a relationship between those things that exist and the source of emanation. But it's the inferior energy. And now that's where other acharyas are drawing. But Prabhupada knows his audience. Us. Who are strongly, ever so strongly influenced by, subtly or not so subtly, by Mayavad conceptions. And it's not just in India that our pranam mantra to Prabhupada speaks of in the West, where impersonalism and voidism, It doesn't have the classic form that it has here in India, but it's impersonalism and voidism, same thing. Material science or mechanistic science is deeply invested in impersonalism. Everything comes from, you name it, a Big Bang, or what's that? You know, what caused the bang? Nothing caused the bang. It was just an accident, just chance. It's just obliterating God. That, you know, so many ways of going down that path of what, and there are people that are deeply invested in it. Ooh, speak out against it, and you lose your job. There's a movie made called Expelled, where people, a man, anyway, without going into too much, from Smithsonian Institute, he just published an article in a periodical under the heading of, because he was an editor of Smithsonian Institute Journal, and speaking about, you know, hey, this is an interesting look at things. He lost his job, expelled. Just because, he didn't say, you know, this is real, hey, this is interesting. And on and on and on and on and on and on. It's, you know, there are people heavily invested. Mayavadis have bazookas and tanks and artillery and infantry and, you know, anyway. Don't think otherwise. It's just, it's naive. And it pervades how people think. Even I'll just give this example. From, you know, the everyday population of America, when there was a period of time when Krishna book was translated by Srila Prabhupada, because he didn't know if he would be able to complete the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and he wanted to leave behind a proper understanding of the 10th canto Bhagavatam, so he made Krishna book. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our book distributors had the nice service of taking Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and giving it to people that wonder what planet you're coming from. But, you know, so we would show them the artwork, and they go, oh, this is beautiful artwork. How much for the book? But then sometimes people would ask, who's that? And we would say, oh, that's Krishna. And they go, no. God can't look like that. Why God can't look like that? Well, he can't look like that, that's all. He's omnipotent. He can look like however he wants to look like. This is his original feature, like this. Nah. Can't conceive of spiritual form, so what do you do with such people? The Bhagavatam provides Virat Rup. And, you know, unpacking the Sanskrit a little bit, there's Chid Atmanaha and Maya Gunayar. He who has no material form, Arupam, the previous forms, because they're forms for sure, they're Chid Atmanaha, that's made of spiritual potency. Those forms are fully transcendental with no touch of matter. And the Virat is Maya Gunayar, the illusory energy comprised of the modes of nature. That's this Virat. And the Lord doesn't have that kind of form, Arupam. He has Chidatmanaha forms. That's making a distinction between the spiritual potency and the material potency, and the spiritual form and the material form. So why even have a Virat Rupa anyways, besides it's convenient for people that don't have a conception? There's a function of Virat Rupa. In Virat Rup, the function is using conventional language, it's like a blueprint. Before you built this building, you had architects make a design. And after you're viewing design, then there's the design. Then comes a blueprint of the design. Yes? I'm looking at Vedanta Chaitanya. So that the contractor takes the blueprint and he does what the blueprint says. At least that's how much I know about. Contractor doesn't just go look at the design of the architect and start building a building. He's got, you know, details that's in the blueprint, another phase of. So Lord Brahma receives that impression of the Virat. So he knows how to get the job done. He's the contractor or chief engineer. And he's not just a civil engineer, mechanical engineer, electrical engineer. He's the professor of all engineering. He's Dr. Brahma with multiple PhDs and professorships in so many departments of engineering. He's the chief engineer. And he knows how to read the blueprint. That's Virat. He takes that impression in order to do his service. You know, okay, the upper planets go over here, and the middle planets go over here, and lower planets go over there. And then there's the populations, and these ones go on the head, these ones go on the arms, and the belly and legs. And all of that detail is in the blueprint, or the Virat. Now that's one conception of Virat. Then there's another conception of Virat. When you read Canto 2, Chapter 1 carefully, it's describing things like the hills. We were just in Tirumala. The hills are his stacks of his bones. The clouds are the hair on his head. The sun and the moon are his two eyes. And, you know, that's a very different description than what I just gave. And then go to Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 11. And it looks very scary. Another perspective on the Virat Roop. It's not different Virat Roops, it's just a different perspective on the Virat Roop. But it's the form of the universe. Virat means the universe. And the form of the universe, or universal form. The form of the universe exists as much as the table exists, but it's temporary. And then it's withdrawn. And then the universe is also withdrawn. There's not only in the second canto, in the third canto. I mean, Virat Rupa is really difficult to understand. I'm just talking about it, but I don't claim to understand it. Very difficult to understand. In the third canto, in describing, because Maitreya asks, Vidura asks Maitreya to describe creation. And there's many chapters, and it's way up here. But so, then there's a whole big section on Virat Rupa in Canto 3, where he describes what the Purusha avatars do. And then it's kind of like a fast forward. Brahma appears, another fast forward. And then there's demigods who are supposed to be managing the affairs of the universe, and they're scratching their heads saying, we don't know what to do. So they go to Lord Vishnu and pray, help, we don't know what to do. So Lord Vishnu considers the prayers of the demigods, and he manifests the Virat Roop. So they know what to do. They've got a blueprint. Because by the time the demigods appear, there's already the place where they're going to manage. The universe is already there. But the blueprint is also there. It's not you throw away the blueprint once you've got the building. The blueprint is still there. It's because it's subtle. And he manifests to give them the intelligence. They ask for two things. The intelligence and the capacity, the strength. He manifests the Virat Rupa, and a detailed description of Virat Rupa once again. Because now, then they know how this fits with that, and that fits with the other thing, and then they can do their job. It's necessary. But it's now you see it, now you don't. It's temporary. The table has a function. Virat Rupa has a function. But it's not an eternal form. And therefore, the verse says, arupasya chid atmanaha. That which is real is chit. And that which is not real is achit. That which is real is sat. That which is unreal is asat. Temporary. Asat doesn't mean it doesn't exist, although we can say, you know, this isn't a table. It's earth, water, fire, air, ether. But earth, water, fire, air, ether, they exist, but sometimes they're manifest, sometimes not manifest. Sometimes there's a table, sometimes it's a tree, sometimes it's ashes. It's in different states of existence, but the energy is real. Krishna's energy. It's real. But it's not eternally a table. And the universal form is a temporary form. And when that temporary form is manifest, then the universe can manifest in all of its detail. And when it's time for withdrawing creation by the transcendental measure of time that the Lord acts under His direction, the whole thing is withdrawn. And forms of the Lord, transcendental forms of the Lord, their state of manifestation is altogether operating by a different principle. Like, for example, the pastimes of Krishna are eternal. Pastimes of Krishna are eternal. When we go to Vrindavan, we may not see those pastimes of Krishna that are eternal. But qualified persons, they can see those forms of Krishna that are eternal. This evening I'm going to share some of that. Please come to the evening class. Our Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, they wrote books that are describing those forms and the pastimes of the Lord that they experienced, they participated in. They felt ecstasy participating in. It wasn't imaginary. But when we go, we don't see them. But they not only see them, they participate in them. Because his leelas are nitya. Nitya leela. Nitya leela pravishta. Means enter into. Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivitakacharya. Like that. So, they have that capacity. And it doesn't take leaving their body to enter into those nitya leelas. It's consciousness. Sometimes those are manifest to everybody, qualified, unqualified. Kamsa, he saw Krishna's form. Shishupal, he saw Krishna's form. The washerman, he saw Krishna's form. But he didn't understand who that form was. But that's when Krishna's leelas, and one type of manifesting his leelas where everyone can see, qualified, unqualified. And then there are times, by the Lord's arrangement, that only the qualified can see. And otherwise covered from the unqualified, the vision of the unqualified. And scripture or shabda, I mentioned this yesterday evening, shabda is such that not only it gives an indication of, like symbols, like chair, gives an indication of chair, or table, gives an indication of table. But shabda is such that the spiritual reality is not different than the sound vibration. someone we say Krishna. The entire spiritual world is there. And we say Krishna a lot. If we're chanting our rounds every day. Even if we don't chant properly, Krishna's there. He's so merciful. Even the unqualified, Krishna's there in his fullness. And that means the whole spiritual abode, all of his devotees, all of his pastimes, all of his paraphernalia, everything is there. But our consciousness is so dull. We have problem completing a round sometimes, or chant mechanically, or something like that. So the Bhagavatam here in this third chapter is giving us a distinction between material form, spiritual form, starting with the form of the universe. It's maya gunayar, and therefore one can say asat or arupam, but it's actually one of the forms of the Lord, but not one of the transcendental forms of the Lord. It's in another category. It's in this now you see it, now you don't category. But the Lord is eternal, spiritual, fully, always, manifest or not manifest before the eyes of the worldly people. And that's the message that Prabhupada wants to pass on. He says it several times. This conception of the Lord, known as Virat Rupa, is particularly not mentioned along with the various incarnations of the Lord, because all the incarnations of the Lord mentioned are transcendental, and therefore there's not a tinge of materialism in their bodies. He's helping us make this, this is what, spiritual intelligence, the function of intelligence is to discriminate, in the good sense of discriminate. To tell one thing from another thing. Like the anamoya phase, a child, the first manifestation of intelligence is everything is food. A shoe is food. My brother or sister's ear is food. Anamoya. And then there's a stage, oh, there's a difference between that which is food and that which is a living being. Your brother, your sister. Yes, that's not food. Oh. And so making little pranamoya. Okay, make the next. And then intelligence gradually rises. So this is a discrimination, honing the intelligence of the audience to make a distinction between material form and spiritual form. The others are spiritual form. This is material form. And they're distinct. But even the material forms, they have their existence, their basis and support, pratishtha, because of Krishna. So we don't call them false. We call them temporary. But so the imaginary is to think that the temporary is real. That's what's imaginary. To think that the Virat Rupa is a form of the Lord, eternal form of the Lord, it's imaginary. But Krishna manifests that form nonetheless, just as Krishna manifests the universe nonetheless. This is the Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva philosophy being presented here in the Bhagavatam in the third chapter in relation to the universe, and then continuing on that same point, the coming verses will more focus on the soul and the soul's misconception of the body as the self, instead taking the conception of the self to the spiritual conception, material spiritual conception of self, intelligence, awakening spiritual intelligence, for the sake of liberation of the soul, ultimate liberation of the soul, upavarga, taking the soul to Krishna, instead of being deluded by matter and material conceptions. So say it again. The Virat Rupa is a very difficult subject matter. You've patiently been bearing with this clumsy explanation of the Virat Rupa. Any questions? Yes? You hear the question? I'll say it because they can't hear in the back. His question is, although it's a difficult subject matter, granted, why is it said it's for the neophytes? And the answer is, I gave already the answer. The neophyte is one who does not have a personal conception of God. It's for those persons that don't have a personal conception of God to gradually develop a personal conception of God based upon what they can see tangibly, you know, with their material senses they can see. No, that's next. Initially, it's not a deity form. Have you seen a deity form of Virat Rupa? Have you heard of a deity form of Virat Rupa? Could you imagine being an artist that had to create a deity form of Virat Rupa? Read chapter 11, Bhagavad Gita, and how are you going to do that? Everything that exists in all directions for all time manifests in one place at one time. Good luck. So deity is different. Deity is different. You want to hear the difference? Just briefly. This is the spiritual form. I was just hearing this morning, hearing Prabhupada in a morning walk conversation in Nellore describing this. One is possessed. He quoted the verse from the Bhagavatam. One is possessed of hellish, naraki, or one's a resident of hell if one thinks of a Vaishnava in terms of his birth, or the deity as made of wood or stone or metal. And then Prabhupada said, everybody knows wood, stone, metal. But if one sees like that, it doesn't see through the lens of the scripture and thinks in terms of wood, metal, stone. It's hellish. What, that person is a resident of hell. So, okay, if I want to be a resident of hell, how do I properly see the deity? The deity is an authorized form of the spiritual reality of the form of the Supreme by His mercy. It's a merciful manifestation in on this plane where I wish to serve the Lord, but I don't have the capacity to see the Lord. So He manifests very mercifully in these elements and transforms those elements to a spiritual dimension. The Lord is fully present within that worshipable form. So one can feed the Lord, decorate the Lord, sing to the Lord, and so forth. Like, this is a nice example, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, when he was worshipping his Shalagram Shilas, he wished because some wealthy merchant came and gave to each of the Goswamis some jewels and nice cloth and ornaments to decorate their deity, and he gave to Gopal Bhatta, and he couldn't offer those things to his Shilas other than placing them before them but actually decorating the deity. So the deity manifested a form that he could decorate right from the Shalagram Shila. That's the deity form. So whether it's self-manifesting or, more commonly, through the proper indication of shabda, indication of how to install a deity, Pran Pratishta, invite the Lord to come and receive directly worship in this form. Then that's what Diri is, Archa, Vigraha. Yes. Do we have a portable mic? How do we understand? How do we understand that the Lord comes with his Dham when he descends? And he's all powerful. He can do whatever he wants.
And also like the...
And wherever he is, he's not alone. He comes means his whole abode and his entourage and paraphernalia and the whole shebang.
And the simultaneous existence of Virat Rupa in that same place. I mean, like,
he comes simultaneous existence of what?
What?
Why not? Why not? Let's go to the Govardhan Leela. There are three Krishnas. Little Nanda Nandana. And Hari. And Govardhan. Very different. Why not? We're going to hear some of the Leelas I'm going to tell this evening. Krishna can do whatever he likes. He's all powerful. No problem. Gee, that's inconceivable. Yeah, he's inconceivable. You got it. Right. And if he was not inconceivable, he wouldn't be God. Now, how do we understand what's real and what's imagination? Through Scripture we understand what's real and imagination. We don't just... Something's a far-out story, and so, okay. But what's the scriptural foundation for it? And we know from the Bhagavatam that he showed these different... In fact, to prove to the residents in Vrindavan, that's why Krishna manifested the form of Hari. He wasn't just a little child babbling. Govardhan is not different than Hari. So he manifested the form of Hari. Then he went and paid obeisances at the feet of Hari. Krishna paid obeisances to Krishna before Krishna as Govardhan Hill. It's Leela. And then Hari ate everything. And he said, I want more. So they brought more. He ate everything. And he said, I want more. They brought him Tulsi Leaf and ah. Okay. Some people say, before creation, impersonal form of the Lord existed, and from parentheses, Lord's will, he came into the form of Krishna, then vacated the world. Then created all the world. Can you tell in detail how this philosophy is wrong? Sheesh. Cantos 1, 2, and 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's the detail. In detail. But in principle, it's the personality of Godhead who is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. And who is that aham? That aham is the basis of Brahman. What's that verse? Who knows the verse? Brahmanohi pratishta aham. Krishna is the pratishta, the basis and foundation of Brahman. So even if one had this interesting idea that everything came from impersonal Brahman, I say interesting idea because where does variety come from? If the Absolute is without variety, where does variety come from? So it's far more logical that within the origin of everything, there's variety, and variety comes. Otherwise, the variety is greater than the source. Because the emanation has variety, and the source has no variety. So the emanation is greater. To that the impersonalist says, no, it's false. Jagat mithya. Well, wait a minute. If jagat is mithya, if it's false, how come I got covered by that which doesn't exist? If I'm God, how did I get covered? No answer. Well, it just doesn't exist. Well, then how did I get deluded into thinking something else if I'm God? It's circular. Anyway, the impersonal philosophy is for those who have an attitude toward Krishna. Or as it's described in Bhagavad Gita, they're frustrated. Personal existence in the spiritual realm, oh no. Make it zero. Born of frustration. So, Krishna satisfies those who are frustrated. He gives them a very elaborate philosophy that says everything comes from that which has no variety. Variety comes from that which has no variety.
Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
That's a sound vibration that says, that's crazy. The cuckoo bird.
Cuckoo.
Anyway. For neophytes to understand Virat form, for neophytes, wait a minute. This is the same question as was being asked previously. Oh, no it's not. The Virat form is for neophytes. Why does Arjuna ask to see the universal form? Because he's not a neophyte. So why does he want to see the universal form? And the answer is, Prabhupada gives that answer so many times. He didn't need to see the universal form. He was already 10th chapter. He already, you know, said, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But for those who might, sure enough it happened, later on saying, I'm God, then the thing that you can do when somebody says, I'm God, then you say, very well, can you show me your universal form? And then they'll say, you don't have the eyes to see. I can show my universal form. Then you can give me the eyes to see. Show me the universal form. Maybe tomorrow I'll show you the universal form. Because I don't have a spiritual conception of Krishna, my chanting is mechanical, so how will I get the spiritual conception of Krishna? Keep chanting and reading and receive Shabda Brahman. He received transcendental knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And serve the Bhagavatam message and serve the devotee Bhagavata. Nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Serve the Bhagavata by hearing and by serving the persons who deliver that message properly. Okay. In the lecture I raised the question that how does matter come from something which is fully spiritual? I heard Srila Prabhupada explain that a devotee has no material vision. So, should we understand that because we are not able to see connection of things with Krishna, therefore it is material, otherwise it is spiritual? Yes, that's one way. There's other ways, but that's one of many ways. So, say it back in a different way. Simple definition, really simple definition of spiritual material. Material, see things not connected with the Supreme. Spiritual, see things connected with the Supreme. Material, spiritual. But we, another way, so spiritual, as is being said here, if we see things in relation to Krishna, then it's spiritual. But you see it in that way at least, that, okay, this is a table, and it has a use in service to Krishna. Now, there is another distinction where there's chit and achit that appears in this verse. Chit means conscious, and achit means without consciousness. The table is not conscious, and the soul is conscious. So there's a distinction between matter and spirit, or in the language of Bhagavad Gita, para prakriti and apara prakriti. Para prakriti is conscious, and apara prakriti, or bina prakriti, separated energy, is not conscious. That's matter. And then there's conscious, para prakriti, matter and spirit. So there are different ways of distinguishing between matter and spirit. We're in the category of conscious, at least a little bit. Covered, but, you know, conscious still. Even in the state of deep sleep, when the soul is anesthetized, or when the soul is within the body of Vishnu during the period of annihilation, before the souls come out again and again resume their guna and karma program. The soul is, even in that state, is conscious but in deeply covered state of consciousness, the deepest kind of covered consciousness. Last question. Arjuna is seeing Krishna directly, which is his original form. Oh. Then why did Arjuna want to see his universal form? The answer is for our benefit, so we won't mistake somebody who says, I'm Krishna, for somebody that's not Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.